from KQED.
Well, the Humboldt County town of Garberville is a thriving center of California's marijuana industry. For the past few decades, pot growing has gradually replaced logging and ranching as the economic engine there. As part of our series, New Harvest, the Future of Small Town California, we visited Garberville to learn more about the changing identity of a town underwritten by pot. Lisa Morehouse teamed up with local writer Kim Kemp to bring us this story.
On any given weekday, the Garberville laundromat is filled with bags of dirty laundry. Attendant Tara Sutherland.
We've had over 100 customers here today, coming in, doing their laundry, washing, drying.
A lot of these customers are marijuana growers coming down off the isolated hills for a day in town.
Most of the clothes around here got pot all over them. It's pretty crazy what you see. You'll see like a pocket full of buds just drop out onto the ground, and in the end of the dryers, you'll take out the lint out of the dryers, and it's like just full of pot.
Trim Scene Solutions.
Down the street, another local business sells duffel bags, scissors, and other paraphernalia that appeal to marijuana farmers. The most profitable is a mechanical trimming machine, says employee Corey Mate.
It is the price of a small truck. It's $14,500.
And they've sold 60 this year. But Garberville wasn't always pot central.
We were loggers and ranchers and fishermen and a tourist area.
Ernie Branscombe's family's been in the region since the 1850s. He was a logger as a young man.
As logging went out, back to the landers, they came in and bought up, logged over land.
That's what Jean Heritage did in the early 70s, escaping a city life she found repressive.
Coming here was like finding the best place on earth. I couldn't wait to get up every morning. My life just turned into something golden.
We used to laugh like crazy about these people coming up here growing garden on a hillside and thinking they were going to make a living. They fooled us.
Along with the vegetables, the newcomers grew a little marijuana.
In the beginning, nobody was growing it to sell. And then, bingo, you could put maybe 7 plants in and get a little extra money.
They began developing potent marijuana strains, garnering more money and attracting attention from consumers and law enforcement. Starting in the 80s, local, state, and federal officials and the military cracked down hard. Some longtime residents were pleased at first.
We thought they were growing a harmful drug at the time.
Others felt terrorized.
You know, when they brought the military in here to chase down children in the woods, they came in with rifles and helicopters.
Bulletproof vests and machine guns, and they'd fly over the crops and rappel in.
It was like being attacked, okay? It was like being in a war.
People like Ernie Branscombe, who first supported this eradication effort, came to see it as futile.
After a few years, it got to be real apparent that they were playing cops and robbers.
Driven deeper underground, pot prices jumped, sometimes over $4,000 a pound. That reality, plus the 1996 passage of Proposition 215, which made medical marijuana legal in California, attracted more growers to the region. And pot was cemented as Garberville's economic base.
Marijuana totally controls the economy in Garberville. If the marijuana income was gone, there isn't a business in town that would be profitable.
Ernie Branscombe's a member of the Chamber of Commerce and a Rotarian. He and his wife own an electronics business and have reluctantly accepted marijuana's economic influence. Like many stores here, most of their transactions are in cash. They also sell a lot of disposable cell phones.
Yeah, I'm not going to disclose how many we sell, but it is enormous. The people around here just love being anonymous.
People like Hardy, a longtime resident who didn't want his last name used. He's trimming buds off an 8-foot plant, a local strain called TKO, and he points to another plant.
This other one goes to charity, which we believe in around here. This particular charity is a hospice.
Each season, Hardy and other growers dedicate plants, each worth thousands of dollars, to nonprofit groups. Supporters of those nonprofits independently process and sell the marijuana and donate the proceeds anonymously to the organizations. Charities not only depend on those donations now, but many were actually built largely on pot money.
Local fire departments, community schools.
Let's start from the beginning. Lights up.
And the Mateel Community Center, home to a theater program, music hall, and soup kitchen. Joe Heine is the board president and says that, though it was planned and built by growers, the center operates independently. As for the donations and ticket sales that keep the center running?
Legally, and with the money we've collect, I mean, it's there. How it got there is none of our business.
For now, the black market keeps pot prices relatively high. But if marijuana is legalized, which many here expect to happen eventually, no one really knows what will happen to the coffers of nonprofits and businesses in town. Up in the hills, growers are sure planning for plummeting prices.
So, let me give you a little tour. My friend down here is cutting down some big rack, which
this is woman in her 30s cultivates marijuana organically for a medical collective. She sees Humboldt's marijuana future tied to building brand loyalty.
So that patients can come in and say, no, I know that I've always liked Humboldt Local's product, or I've always liked Organic Farm Girl's product.
She's focused on branding because she anticipates legalization coming soon, and with it, big agribusiness moving into southern Humboldt, producing an inferior product, underselling small farmers, and tarnishing Humboldt's current reputation for high-end marijuana.
So the thought is to be progressive and be forward-looking and protect the Humboldt name.
We want to see our supervisors passing regulation, keeping big money out of the community.
That's Joey Berger, president of the newly formed Humboldt Growers Association, a legal medical marijuana trade group working on pot policy. Just a year ago, it would have been rare for any grower to lobby county and state officials.
It's tough. People have been so private, really hiding out here in the hills over the years. We're going to have to open up the doors, you know, pull back the redwood curtain and get creative.
By marketing Garberville as a center for specialty products and marijuana tourism, for example. It's only been recently that public officials have openly grappled with the region's economic dependence on marijuana. But that's changing. Just this week, the Humboldt County Planning Commission, which makes recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, met to discuss medical marijuana ordinances and permits.
Cannabis is going to play a big role in this state's future. We're proud to be a voice and looking forward to seeing what the future holds.
In the hills above Garberville, at marijuana harvest balls like this one, old-time outlaw growers mingle with more business-minded farmers. Whether or not they envision Southern Humboldt's alternative culture assimilating with the business world, these folks put on costumes, raise money for charity, dance in the mud with their neighbors, and celebrate the end of another marijuana harvest. For the California Report, I'm Lisa Morehouse, reporting with Kim Kemp in Garberville.
Deborah George was a contributing editor on that story. To see photos, read a reporter's notebook, and hear other stories in the series, go to CaliforniaReport.org.